one of the greatest weekends of our year, where we actually get to worship in a special way. It's also a time where family and friends will come to church. So can we start praying? We're praying and fasting right up to the next Sunday for our miracle offering, for our building, getting excited about that. We're going to talk about that in a second. But you know what? There's people that are lost that need you. And it's just one conversation saying, hey, why don't you come to C3 Fremantle on Good Friday? Why don't you come to Wellard on Sunday afternoon? Can we do that? Can we think about those people that we love, but actually they don't have a relationship with God? We don't want to have missed that opportunity, do we? To go to heaven and realize that we had missed seeing that person with us. And so, Father, today I pray, I thank you that you are, Lord, over the church. And I thank you, God, that you are an amazing God. And I thank you, God, for what you have given us. I thank you for your life. Lord, you're a life giver, Lord. And we thank you that you're full of life. And we thank you today that you may have died, you may have sacrificed, Lord, but as you sacrificed, you gave us a brand new day. You gave us a brand new work. You gave us a brand new life, a brand new purpose. And we welcome you in this place today in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. All right, I just thought you might be falling asleep, so I'll wake you up a little bit. How are we going? We doing well? Fantastic. All right, Mr. Barry Barnard. And look, we should say Mr. and Mrs. Barnard are in the house. Nothing like a quick trip to Brisbane to marry this couple a couple of weeks ago. But this is their first week back from their honeymoon. That deserves a hand. And Barry, being one of our pastors on staff, and he's going to come because part of his portfolio is related to our building. Who enjoys our facility? Who's glad we've got air conditioning? Who's glad that we actually have chairs to sit on? You know? They're comfortable. Yeah, Charlie, they're comfortable chairs. Go to some churches, my goodness, it's wood, right? Well, yeah, you need to bring your own cushion. We're not here. Anyway. Why don't you share, as we open up our story, our future today, and why don't I kick off with a scripture? Pop this scripture up for me, Dave. Dave's always ready. Nehemiah 2:18. And I told them of the hand of my God, which has been good upon me. Turn to your neighbour and say, God has been good upon you. And it also says then, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me, so they said, let us rise up and? Let us rise up and? Oh dear, I've got to get rid of that. My daughter's trying to face message me at the moment. Oh, it's right in the middle of the page. Go. Go away, daughter. Thanks, Ferry. She's actually in C3 Adelaide Hills. More about that later. No, not more about that later. Anyway, that's good to be part of the tribe, right? And then they set their hands to this good work. Who knows that building the house of God is the greatest work, the best work. So, Barry.
Yes, Pastor Nash.
He's so obedient, all right? He's so honouring. Good man. Please, take it away.
Yeah, I just want to give a thank you here. I did it at the wedding as well, but just so that all of you know, Pastor Nige dropped a lot to be there to marry Michelle and I. It was like he just gave up whatever he had on his Wednesday, Thursday, came through at the drop of a hat. Our pastor from overseas fell through, and we just really honor you and want to bless you. Thank you so much for giving up that and coming over at such short notice. It was awesome. Anyway, so I'm getting really pumped for this. I don't know about you guys, but our story, our future, how good is this rise up theme been? Just so challenging. I know Michelle and I have been really challenged. We've looked at what we're giving for Leap into Spring from last year, and what we're giving in terms of tithes and offerings. And we've been talking about what are we going to give towards the house of God. And we've been challenged in a lot of areas as well by this theme, trying to get a deeper prayer life going, devotionals, all that. So there's rising up all over going on. But as a building manager here, I'd like to just encourage you that we've got a lot planned for this building. We want to try and just take it to the next level, just freshen things up and just provide an atmosphere and a place and a home where people can just belong and feel like they can connect, where they can hang around after church and sort of just fellowship and just cultivate that sort of atmosphere. And also, I want you to know that we're not alone. Overseas, Pastor Collie from Liberia, he's talking about 2018 being his year of progress, and he wants to rise up with us and build a new school, well, take the school that we have in Painesville to the next level. He wants to have running toilets running water, because it's just, at the moment, it's a health hazard. It's just not up to spec. It's pretty much just, it's a facility and it's awesome, but we just want to take it to that next level. And so together with the people in Africa, we want to rise up and build, but also in Southeast Asia, we want to get behind. The Jagelmans have an extensive building project that they have for the a rehabilitation center that they're building there. So all across the missions that we support and at home, everyone is rising up and building. And I just want to give you an idea of why we are doing it here as well. Is the Port Care Lunch does such awesome stuff in our community. And Port Care has been really growing. We've seen more and more people attending on a Friday. We've seen salvations. We've seen people's lives being transformed. But Port Care Lunch has grown to a point where it's now a bit cramped. It's now like there's growth beyond what the building can contain. And so on a Friday, we want it to be to just be better, more comfortable, just cultivate that feeling of belongingness. And I think what we've got planned in terms of the foyer area is going to facilitate that. So maybe if I could get the video up, David, of what that's going to look like. So currently it's quite a walled-off space. Not a lot of people know what goes on there, but the idea is to break it all open. So this is on the left. You'd go into the church through those doors, but basically just make it a lot open, make it an indoor-outdoor area. So just that there's a lot more areas for people to hang out to. I know there's a couple of connect groups that are being held in the church building during the week, so it's to facilitate things like that. If we have special events, we don't want it to, especially when we get Wellard across, it feels a little bit like stifling, a little bit like claustrophobic, and we want it to be open, we want it to be welcoming, inviting. So that's kind of the vision that we have for that. So now, we want to, as last year we wanted to make room and make room for others, this year we want to make room for God to move in the building and in the community. And how we're going to do that is to rise up in faith, to stretch our faith, and to give beyond what we think is possible. Because God meets us in that uncomfortable place. When you're thinking like, oh, I could probably manage that, and you stretch yourself in faith that that's probably not what I can manage, but that's what God's telling me to, God meets you in that place. So, I mean, looking at 2018, and this is just my last couple of points, Pastor Nigel, and I'll let you get on with it. But looking at 2018, is it the best year? Is it the best year in the natural for us to be doing this? I mean, are the church's coffers full of cash and the FIFO money flowing in the streets? No, from a natural point of view, it's looking pretty dismal and dark, but.
Oh, thanks for that.
No, but that's where our God likes to work. Our God likes to take...
Come on.
He likes to work in mangers and stables. He likes to work in the dark, dingy places where no one really wants to be. I mean, and so God is... Because then he's the only one who can take the credit. If it was easy in the natural, if it looked like, yeah, we can definitely do this easy, no problem, just throw a couple grand at it, no worries. It's like, Lord, where's this going to come from? It's a stretching. It's like, God, I don't know if I can give more than I gave last year. I don't know if I can meet that vision, but God knows, and he knows all our needs because he's our Father ultimately, and he's more concerned about our character of heart. It's through faith stretching times like these in these building programs where God raises us up, he grows us, he grows our faith, he lifts our generosity, he shifts our focus from ourselves to being part of something much bigger than ourselves. I mean, what we're building here in Fremantle, once all of us are no longer here, it's going to continue to go. We are building a solid foundation for the next generation to build on. And I think that we got to think of that mindset of longevity, of what is God doing this year with the little that we can give. He can take those five loaves and those two fishes and he can multiply and build on that. That's awesome. I just want to encourage you, let's rise up and build in 2018. And even though Michelle and I are newly married, we've got some debt behind us, we're saving for a house. We are, even though in the natural, it's maybe not the best time, we're seriously discussing, what are the upper limits of our giving this year? What can we stretch to? What seems a little bit out of reach, but that we could probably make it happen? We could cut. What can we cut out to give into the house of God? And because we want to see growth, because we want to see salvation, and because we want to be a substantial part of our story, our future, that's what we're going to do. And I just want to encourage you to take one of these cards home and pray about it and think, what can I give into our story, our future 2018? Thank you, church.
It's great, Barry. Thank you. So next week, as Barry has said, we're having our miracle offering. We'll have a bucket up, some sort of nice-looking, trendy bucket up the front. How can you make a bucket look trendy? I don't know. But anyway, so that's going to be, and we're going to give together to our story, our future. And I want to talk about this a little bit this morning from what God's put on my heart. And it involves each one of you. Turn to your neighbour and say, this involves you. So next week is a really important week in the life of our church. And I don't think we should underestimate that there are special times where God really wants to move us into a whole new dimension and a whole new atmosphere. And so I want to read Nehemiah 2:18 again. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that had been spoken to me. I'll mention that in a little while. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. So approximately 12 years ago, around 70 people were meeting in an old, run-down, I was going to say rat-infested, pigeon-infested building, which was kind of true. And we'd leased it as our first permanent facility as a church. And we were called Port Community Church originally back then, not C3 Fremantle. And when we first moved into that facility, there was around 30, 35 people. And in 5 years, we had more than double the amount of people, so we grew to over 70 people. Incredible growth. 35 to 70. Now, most pastors, if they doubled, they'd be going, whoa. But you know what? Never despise what God does with small beginnings. Never. And whatever your situation is, don't think that God can't move in it, because he will. And we have a story to tell as a church. And Andrea was correct last week that we had $30,000 in the bank for our building fund, which is called Our Story, Our Future, for those of you who may be new here this morning. And I'm gonna talk about this morning. The truth was, I could not see with that $30,000 any possible way that we could achieve what we have today in this facility. It was an impossible thing to achieve in the natural, which actually Barry has brought out this morning. But God has a bigger vision for us. And what you think is impossible for your situation is never impossible for God. And so Nehemiah says, let us rise up and build. Say it with me, let us rise up and build. And what I recognize now is that when you and I put our pens to paper, when we take out our form, our story, our future, and we promise something over the next 12 months, this is not a once-off offering. This is a 12-month commitment that I am going to build the house of God year in, year out, because I want to see the church rise up and take its position in the community and see people coming into his house healed, transformed, and delivered from whatever they've got themselves into, because and make Jesus Lord of their life. And so that's really what our story, our future is all about. And yes, it is about buildings, because who knows that stuff happens when we have a building. Because when there's a corporate presence, that people actually get a hold of something that they can't do on their own. And that's because the atmosphere we create is to allow God to bring presence of God into people's lives. And so both of these are important. And so the widow that Elijah went to Zarephath, let me explain it this way, who was preparing her last meal. This is 1 Kings 17. Before she and her son died, that's what she said to the prophet, Elijah, this is my last meal before we die. She'd run out of flour. She'd run out of oil. This was the last little bit she had. And the prophet, the man of God, says, make me a small loaf first. Make me a small loaf. Now, this is an impossible situation. And he's saying, the man of God, it's like God himself saying to this widow lady with her son, her only son, and saying, please just make me some of that first. Your first reaction as a human being is, well, that means I'm only going to have that amount left. Right? But you don't want to forget that when you put God into your transactions, and this is the title of my message, there's a transfer. So I want to talk to you today about the transfer. The transfer. And so Elijah said to her, and we sang this song this morning, do not fear, go and do as I say. And the woman rose up. Who's willing to rise up? The woman what? She had nothing. She didn't think she was going to get through the next week. But she rose up and she went and prepared the man of God a meal. And I can prophesy today that as we rise up together, that there is going to be a spiritual atmosphere that comes upon every person, because as we rise up together, regardless of what we think, but put our faith, our trust in God, that there would be a miracle atmosphere come into the life of C3 Fremantle Wellard that we haven't seen before. This is our story, our future. Now, we already know of miracles that have happened, and I haven't got time to talk about those really this morning. But when we put God first, there is a transaction that occurs. It's a transfer, a divine transfer from heaven into our lives. And so the widow did what the man of God asked, and that faith promise that she made. Church, what are we doing next week? Show me that. Barry, thanks. That faith promise that she made turned her and her sons and her families and her household situation around. The flour, you can read it in 1 Kings 17, the flour in the jar did not run out. The oil did not run dry. There was a transfer. The interesting thing about that, CJ, is that the transfer only occurred as the woman went to action. You can't just pray about it, and you can't just say, oh yeah, that's someone else's responsibility. You've actually got to move to action. You've got to what? You've got to belong to the house of God. You've got to grow in the house of God, and you want to build the house of God. And so those three are really important. And so there's a transfer. God does not operate in the natural. And some of you need to hear this morning. God does not operate in the... And up until this point in time, some of you have been saying, I know that I can give this amount of money and that's not going to hurt me too much, but God is wanting to actually build you into a greater person in himself and trust you more than you have before, and there is going to be an enormous breakthrough that you thought was never possible, but as you trust him, there's going to be a transfer. Nehemiah 2:18. Because I'm only just getting warmed up. And also, of the king's words that he had spoken to me. Doesn't sound like much. And also, of the king's words that he had spoken to me. Come with me for a moment back to verse 6. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him. Is it there? Verse 6. The queen also sitting beside him. Artaxerxes, as Andrea has affectionately named him, Art. Didn't she do a great job last week? Good message. Had already chosen a queen. But the woman sitting beside Art was not that queen. Queen Vashti, his rightful queen, had refused to parade before him one day, as they did back in the ancient days. Come and dance before me. And that ticked Art off no end. And his advisors suggested, why don't you find yourself another queen? And he thought that was a brilliant idea. I will find myself another queen. And the woman that stood out from all the others was Esther. Esther was a Jew. Now, this is a Persian king. Esther is a cousin of Mordecai who worked in the king's palace and stood up against Haman to protect the Jews from their imminent massacre. It was Esther's influence over Artaxerxes that set up a heavenly transfer, because in the natural, Art was never going to allow Nehemiah his request. But the Bible says he loved Esther more than any other. And sometimes you are in the wrong place at the seemingly wrong time for the right reasons. And the favorable disposition of the king was not normal. The favor granted to Nehemiah to rebuild Jerusalem was far from typical behavior. The success of rebuilding the wall and the city alike, including the favor given to Nehemiah and his men throughout the land to take from their forests and use their skilled help, was unheard of. This was a transfer of the most divine of heaven, the God, the Creator, the one who can only do the impossible. And I want to say today that our church has an unheard of story. Around 70 people in 2003, 2004 made some faith promises to take the impossible step of owning their own church home. Who's here from those days in 2003? Put your hands up. Can we give these guys a hand for their faith? That original group made a promise like we will be doing next weekend. A promise that they would give funds over the next 12-month period and stretch themselves to trust God to see the future of the church in Fremantle prosper. while other church buildings were getting transformed into restaurants, while other places like this were being pulled down to put up apartments, we, the church, were saying, we want to rise up and build for the future. And I know, just all from all those hands that went up this morning, that they are still giving into our story, our future. Because we know that the work is still ahead of us. And so, yes, we have a story, and it's an unheard of story. And I haven't got time to talk about that either this morning, because I want to get back to Nehemiah. But what seemed impossible in the natural has become the reality of our church that we enjoy today. Does anyone enjoy our church today? And so may I add that once the physical structure took shape, God added to his church. We went from 70 people, we remember this as board members back in those days, Dom Sinek, wherever you are, now, and very quickly went to 200 people. Salvations, people coming into the house of God, incredible things happened. And here's the thing, you are all now a part of the story of our church. You're part of the story. Turn to your neighbour and say, you're part of the story. If you have to, give them a little punch. You're part of the story. Will you be, this is the question, will you be part of its future? Will you be part of its future? So let me tell you some of the things people have told me during the week and on Sundays about how they view our church. Since I've been attending C3 Church Fremantle, I have grown so much. Since I've been going to Connect Group, I have found out the love of God has for me, and I could not wait to be baptized. I love God and my church. I am so overjoyed that I can experience the love of God through the Holy Spirit in my life, and I know that the presence of God is there, and when I pray for someone else, I know that they're getting transformed as well. I worry less. I have a sense of God's peace on my life. I used to be quite fearful, but not anymore. And I love this one, my personal favourite. I have come home. I have come home. And they set their hands to this good work. And they set their hands to... What's a good work? Building the house of God. What's a good work? Just in case you haven't got it yet. See, there is no better work on the face of the planet. And you and I are in the business of bringing people home. We're in the business of bringing people home. Pastor Andrea spoke last week about our story, our future, and at Wellard asked Taylor, oh, she's here this morning, hello Taylor, to come forward. I'm going to save you that trouble today. Your sigh of relief. But she'd returned from a youth camp as a leader. It was only 6 months ago that she'd given her heart to the Lord. And Taylor was able to lead a young lady in a prayer, being a six-month Christian herself, of what she knew, of what God and her experience with God was, not what she didn't know. And now that young person is in the house of God. Come on. Now, I don't think they've quite got it yet, Reese. You see, there was a transfer. And we're going to do this transfer together next week. Nehemiah 1:4, part B. I was praying and fasting before the God of heaven, Who knows that when you pray and fast, you actually get a burden for things that you didn't have before? And Nehemiah was praying and fasting and wanting to lead this group of people. Well, God put it on his heart to lead this people. To rebuild what was broken down. And then it goes on in Nehemiah 1. I want to read it to you in verse 6, 7 and 8 of chapter 1. He says this, he's pleading with God. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you, and I have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. And he says in verse 8, remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. Now, Nehemiah found that through his relationship with God. Who's got a relationship with God here this morning? Who's got a relationship with God here this morning? Come on. Yeah, fantastic. We've all got to relate. Most of us here would have a relationship with God. I want to give you an opportunity, if you don't have a relationship with God, to receive him before we finish our service this morning. And Nehemiah found that through his relationship with God, that he received a transfer from God into his heart. He was experiencing through his prayer life, through his fasting, a heart that God felt for his people. And who were out there doing their own thing. Who knows that there's lots of people out there doing their own thing? Who knows that they've scattered throughout the earth, who have chosen to forget the word of God for their lives, who were putting their trust in things that could not benefit their lives. But Nehemiah was interceding for the people. And I know that as we bring our faith promise card, we are saying we are interceding. We are actually not, it's not just a physical action in the natural. We are saying we want to see those people that are away from God come back into the house of God. We want to see those people that are actually far away from God get closer to God. We want to see those people that are in pain and trouble find their home in the house of God. And this is more than just something about giving. This is a spiritual atmosphere change. It's a transfer. And when God's people rise up, like Nehemiah, because they get a burden full of lust, my goodness, I don't want to see my mates that don't know him yet not be in the house of God, not go through heaven's gates. And we get a burden for those who once knew him but have wandered away. When God's people receive their call to action and rebuild the walls. So I need a few volunteers. May I pick on a few cultures this morning? A few different cultures, if that's okay. Do you think that'd be all right? Are you all willing? All right, I need a Filipino person to come and stand in that corner over there. Come on, one of the Filipinos. Conrad, I'm picking you out. Please go in that corner over there. All right, one of our Aboriginal brothers or Torres Strait Islanders, who should we get? One of those? Ruth, which one do you want to go? Push him. All right, Paulie. Big Paulie, come on, get in that corner over there. Paul? All right, so we got our Aboriginal brothers. We got our Filipino brothers. Bit of a scattering across the earth already. Now, who else do we need? We need an Aussie. Do we need an Aussie? Who's an Australian here? Anyone actually Australian? Come on, Margie. Come up over here on this corner. All right. Now, we could have an African, but I'm going to pick on a white African. But if you're African, black or white, okay, this is for you. Come on, Jacques. Come and join this corner here. All right? He's representing Africa. All right, the whole of Africa, the whole continent, okay? So if you're part of this continent, this is interesting. This is where it gets interesting, all right? See, now, I want you to come together onto the stage. I want you to sort of like kind of jog towards me. Come and join me on the stage. Come on, all four of you. Come on, come down. Come on, give me a hand. Yeah, go, yeah, 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 yeah. Ho, ho, ho. Come on down. Hands in. Hands in. Come on. Come on, Brother Paul. Get on you, man. All right. Now listen, what's going on here? There's a transfer. There's a transfer. I tell you what, though. Now spread out just a little bit across the stage. That's good. Just stand there. You stand there. Beautiful. All right. It's got to be done together. The more power, the greater influence we have. The greater the building of the church too, right? I will rise up and I will. Marg, you were here from the beginning. I will
build.
I will build. I will build. All right, now call some of your brothers and sisters, some of your own people. Call them out. Come to join you. Call them out. Call all the Africans out. Call your Aussie friends out. Filipinos, call them out. Call them out. Call them out. Call them out. All the Africans. Where's all our Africans today? They all stayed home. All right, where's it? Come on, Torres Strait Islander, you can't. Come here. Come on. Kimmy. Pastors, come on. You're in this group. Come and join our Aboriginal friends. All right. Wherever you fit in this, are we all here? Are we all in yet? We're all in? Not quite. Where's the Aussies? There's a few Aussies. I can go in this part, sort of. All right. Andrea, you can be up here. All right, now look at that, because Dave's going to take a picture. Dave's going to take a picture. Come on, come on. Take a picture. Now, I don't think our Indian people should miss out. You come and join these guys. Come on. Come and join these guys. All right. Come on. Gee, I tell you what, I've got to preach a message here. Come on. It's good. It's good. All right. Now look, this is a divine transfer. We are saying that next weekend, as we bring our faith promises, that we are trusting in the God above every God, the power above every other power. We are going to see the walls of C3 Frio Wellard built to a whole new standard to receive the people that are not sitting here now. So that all the empty chairs, Bruce, why aren't you up here? You're an Aussie. Oh, I tell you what, we can't have any stragglers next weekend. You've got to be a part of this. Because together we achieve it. Together there is a divine heavenly transfer that transfers into our personal lives, as well as, my goodness, look at our Filipino community. And all our African brothers and sisters, God bless you. And all our Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islanders and everyone in between, fantastic. All right, let's give the Lord a hand. You can take your seats. All right. Please take your seats. I may go 5 minutes over this morning, but we're okay, right? Come with me to Nehemiah 3. When God's people rise up like Nehemiah, because they get a burden for the lost, they get a burden for those who were once knew him, but have wandered away. When God's people receive their call to action and rise up, look at this, and I'll just paraphrase it. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up and built. Next to them, the men of Jericho rose up and built. Next to them, the men of Mehemoth made repairs. Next to them, the men of Jehoiada repaired the old gate. Next to them, the men of Aziel, the goldsmiths, made repairs. Next to them, the men of Zanoah repaired the valley gate. Next to them, the men of Mizpah repaired the fountain gate. My goodness, what started out as a few men became a vast army of the Lord. The people stood side by side. Where else does this happen but in the house of God? They served together. The people stood side by side and they used their giftings together. The people stood side by side and they prayed together. We're doing that tomorrow night at 7 o'clock right here. The people stood side by side and they worked together. The people stood side by side and their faith rose together. The people stood side by side and their stamina grew. The people stood side by side and they encouraged one another. The people stood side by side and that they knew that they had come home. Father God, we thank you. God is in the business of calling people home, but it's a transfer. Can we put our faith into action? And next week, bring an offering for the next 12 months, a promise that we are determined to see people come home. Father, today I pray that there would be a transfer in our hearts, in our minds, that we would see, Father, the greatest days ahead of us for our story, our future. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Just want to, if we could all stand to our feet, just want to give an opportunity this morning. If we could just bow our heads for a moment. You know, God is a giver of life. Nehemiah knew this. God is the giver of life. It flows from his house. Maybe you're here today, you haven't received Jesus as Lord of your life. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Today, you're away from God. You know your relationship is not where it needs to be. Will you come home? Will you get right and come home today and build your house with him? So for those of you who have not received Jesus as Lord of your life and would like to today, please raise your hand right now. Let me see your hand. Those of you who have not received Jesus as Lord of your life and would like to, please raise your hand. Those of you today who are away from God and you want to be back in relationship with him, please just give me a wave. Father God, thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I'll pray with you in a moment as soon as we finish our service. Is that okay? Fantastic. Those of you, last time, those of you, one lady's just said, yeah, that's me. I want to come back home. Anyone else today, you want to come back home? Just give me a wave. I'll see it. You can pop your hand down. We're going to finish our service on a song in a moment. And we're going to pray for this beautiful lady. Let's give her a hand for accepting Christ today, refreshing her relationship. Don't underestimate the power of the transfer. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Let's sing a song. Thanks, guys. Lead us. And if that lady would come forward, I'd love to pray with you.